I work to fight human trafficking. So I need to be very specific now in how I word what we do. Growing up in Spain, I don't know how many of you have gone to Spain. We have roundabouts. We don't have those crazy 15,000 lights in all the lanes that you guys have. We have roundabouts. And in the roundabouts, there's always girls that are working in prostitution there. And I would always ask my parents what they were doing. I remember I was 11 the first time. And my parents told me what they did. And I remember thinking, okay, when I'm an adult, I'm going to do something. So here I am after my DTS studying social work. And I said, okay, well, I'm an adult. But I need a team and I need a car. So I got my driver's license. And a week later, a neighbor that I didn't really know knocks and says, look out your window. And there's a car with a huge bowl. So, and he says, that's for you. And I was like, oh, cool, God. Now I need a team. So then the next week, I was invited to translate for a man who rescues girls out of sex trafficking in Cambodia. And I found a team that went out to minister to the girls that I had grown up seeing on those roundabouts. So I was like, okay, here we go. So I started going out to minister to the girls working in prostitution in Spain when I was 20. And I say girls working in prostitution, and I don't say prostitutes for one reason. It's because I don't want it to be their identity. So when you say somebody is something, you're saying that's their identity. And sure, it takes a little bit longer, a few seconds longer, to say girls working in prostitution, but you're taking the identity out of it. We've had girls that we've worked with, and I've had one specifically. She was from Romania. She was a victim of sex trafficking. She was saying, I'm not worth anything. I don't know how to do anything. I'm just a bad word for girl working in prostitution. I said, no, that's not who you are. You are working in prostitution. This is not who you are. And she was crying. So it does make a difference. It takes a little bit longer. You might get tired of hearing me saying that, but this is why. So that's how I got started in this work that we're doing. You can go to the next slide. I'm going to base my talking out of Judges 6 through 8. We're not going to read it because it's super long. But there's three yeses that Gideon says. The first one is when God asks him to take down I don't know how you say that word in English, poles. You can just read it if I'm not saying it right. And the altar to Baal? Thank you. That his dad had put up. Can you imagine God saying you to put up, to go tear down something that your dad put up? He was terrified, and he asked God for confirmation, but God gave him the confirmation, and he did it. So that was his first yes. We go up a little bit longer, and his second yes is when God asks him to get rid of pretty much his whole army and stay only with 300, and he says yes. Again, he asks for confirmation, and I love Gideon. I feel like I'm Gideon because I ask for confirmation all the time. My husband was my first boyfriend. I was 22. And I asked the Lord for 34 confirmations before saying yes to marrying Alan. All of them were fulfilled. My last one was I wanted him to give me a bouquet of flowers because nobody had ever given me a bouquet of flowers. It's stupid, but it's the truth. And I already knew I was going to marry him, and it was the last thing. And I was like, okay, God, if he asks me to marry him, I'm going to say yes, even though I didn't get my bouquet. And how did he propose? With a bouquet of flowers. So God is good and faithful. We've been married for 7 years. We got married in 2015. And we moved to the north of Spain. I'm from Madrid. He was in Cáceres in the southwest. And we moved to the north to plant a base there, a YWAM base. So we're YWAM base directors in the north of Spain. You can go. Oh, yes. The third one is when he defeats the army, finally. Gideon defeats the Midianite army, and it's just a little yes going against his dad, and then the big yes defeating an army. So we see how little yeses lead us to big yeses. We don't normally get asked a huge yes. We're normally asked little yeses that end up where we are. And that's how I feel God has used us, me and Alan, how our journey has been. You can go to the next one. I was using a fan back there, and all the kids were like, she's not from here, because I was using the fan, and they were all enthralled by it. That's true, I'm not from here, I'm from Spain. What it says there is how our yeses impact others. So I'm going to go a little bit into what our ministry is in Spain. Why I'm in Vigo? Vigo is the town where we work in the north of Spain. We have a team of 22 full-time staff. And us saying yes to each other, saying yes to getting married and yes to going to the north of Spain, what has done is that we have been able to run 60 TSs going to India, to Portugal, Spain, Romania, and Germany, impacting people there. And then our 22 staff, we have different ministries. Our goal as a base in Vigo is we always say, if we were to leave our neighborhood, would our neighbors miss us or would they be happy? So we try to do everything local apart from globally too. So we started a few years ago a little snack time with our neighbors because they didn't talk to each other. They were like enemies for I don't know how many years. And we said, okay, let's start using what we have and inviting our neighbors for snacks. So that's what we did. And the first time, only one lady came. By the last time, everybody came. The relationships were mended, restored, and now they're friends again. They'll like go to each other's houses and spend time together. Coffee and Hope. This is the ministry that we have. We started in 2016 to rescue girls out of sex trafficking. And the first part of the video, you can go ahead and pull it up. The first part of the video is what we do, and the second part is the impact that it's had on our staff that work with Coffee and Hope. So we can see that. Coffee and Hope was created 6 years ago to bring hope to women who had felt like they had lost it. We have been able to serve around 100 women working in prostitution on the streets and have begun ministering to 17 women in clubs. In the past 6 years, we have helped 10 women get off of the streets, 6 through rescue and 4 through providing for their basic needs. During the height of the pandemic, we served 22 women and their families, 50 people in total, giving out weekly bags of groceries and hygiene products that for many were the only way to eat and shower on a regular basis. Women who wanted nothing to do with Jesus now won't let us leave until we pray for them, and one even committed her life to Jesus. We have had the opportunity to train churches in human trafficking prevention in Spain, Hungary, Brazil, and the U.S., We have trained university students on the realities of human trafficking and what they can do to end it. We have trained medical professionals in how to spot human trafficking victims, and we have reached the government advising them on how to rule in this area. In total, we have trained around 1,500 people in the past 6 years. But behind these numbers are people. Behind every rescue, there's a story. Behind every girl we minister on the streets, there are dreams, frustrations, desires, and fears. And we have had the privilege of knowing their names and calling them ours. We are proud of everything we have lived in these 6 years, but we know there is so much more to do. Will you help us?
Café Esperanza para mí ha sido un abrir de los ojos a un mundo totalmente desconocido y me ayudó a salir de mi zona de comodidad y empezar a hacer algo por estas personas.
Para mí es vencer mi miedo hacia lo desconocido. Para mí es la oportunidad de traer identidad a mujeres en una realidad que tenía frente a mí y no era capaz de ver.
Para mí ha sido un cumplimiento de un llamado.
Para mí es posibilidad de traer vida para quien cree que no la tiene.
Para mí Café y Esperanza es aportar un granito de arena a chicas que lo necesitan.
Café Esperanza significa para mí ver la fidelidad de Dios en mi vida y en la vida de las chicas a las que hemos servido durante todos estos años. Really hot when I talk, so I went to get my fan and some water. So we started Coffee and Hope in 2016. When we started the base in 2015, we saw what the felt needs were around us. The churches were doing a very good job ministering to homeless people, giving out bags of clothes and food to families, but nothing was being done to women in prostitution, The reality of Spain and just a big paintbrush, I don't know if you say that in English, we say it in Spanish, is that 80 to 90% of girls in prostitution are victims of sex trafficking. The other 10%, it's calculated that it's only 1% that does it because they want to. The other 9% does it because they don't have how to provide for their families. So in social work, we call them involuntary volunteers because they're not actually doing it because they want to. Spain is the number one country for sex tourism in Europe, the number three in the world. That means that we have people come specifically to consume prostitution in Spain. And so we said, okay, what do we know how to do? We know how to drive, we know how to make coffee, we know how to talk, and we know how to pray. So that was the ministry. That's why it's called Coffee and Hope, because we take coffee to the girls. Normally in Spain, when you want to get to know somebody, you take them out for coffee. But we can't take them out because they're forced to be there, so we take the coffee to them. And hope, because we want them to have hope right where they are. We don't want to wait until they're out of prostitution or trafficking. We want them to know that they are loved and valued and have dignity right where they are, because we believe that's what Jesus did with us too. Well, you heard our numbers in the video, but I wanted to tell you a testimony. During COVID, we were in severe lockdown. We had to get special permission from the government to go to the girls' houses to give them the food and the hygiene products, the little kits we call them. And we met a girl. Her name was Patricia. We hadn't known her before because we go out to the streets. But because of COVID, everything has changed now. And now we're going into brothels too. We hadn't known Patricia before, but she heard about us, that we were giving out foods to girls. So we went and met her, and she was like, why are you doing this? So everybody always asks us that, why are you doing this? So we said, well, because we love God, and God loves you. So we want to be his hands and feet for you. And every week we would go and give her food. Like 2 or 3 weeks into it, she said, can I have a Bible? And we said, sure. So I talked to my church. We do have a church, even though it's locked down. They've opened up, and they've opened up nursery now in September, so we'll be able to go back as a family. And I said, can we take Bibles? They said, sure. The pastor said, take however many you need. So we gave a Bible to her, and she started reading it. And she said, is there a child's version of this? We said, yeah. So we had somebody give her son a Bible, and we were this close to taking her and her son to a safe house. She was living with her pimp, with her trafficker. A way that they do it is by manipulating the girls into feeling that they're in love with them, like their boyfriend. And that was her case. It was a boyfriend, pimp. And when the day that we were supposed to take her to the safe house, she disappeared. We didn't know anything for 2 years. And a week before coming to the States, so the last week of May, we went out to the streets to minister to our girls. And guess who we found? Patricia. When she recognized me, she started crying. She said, I've never forgotten you. I read my Bible every night. I've read her son. He's read his Bible every night. I actually left that pimp. I was able to leave him because of the encouragement that you gave me, but sadly, I ended up in the hands of another. And I tell you this story because it's the reality. The reality of girls in sex trafficking is that it takes around 10 times in and out of a safe house to finally feel safe enough to leave. And we've done a few rescues. Our first rescue, we took the girl to the safe house. She stayed there for 3 months, and then she was still in contact with the mafia, so she left. It's a reality that we see often, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to continue saying yes to the Lord and doing what he's asked us to do. You can go, oh wait, no, trainings. We have, as you heard, we've done trainings all over, and one testimony that I wanted to say is that we trained a guy, well, university full of us, university class, and he was in IT, and he said, well, what can I do? And I said, well, we all want to use what we have. God doesn't ask us to use what we don't have. He asks us to use what we have. So you have computer skills and knowledge. So he said, okay. So he built a web page in Spanish for all the statistics in Spanish, because there's none. So it was the first web page that there is in Spain with information on trafficking. And another training we did in Brazil. Because of the training, one of the two people that were in there has started a nonprofit to help people that are vulnerable. So we see how little yeses turn into big ones. Okay, you can go to the next one. How our yeses impact us. Well, the first one is, for me personally, it's dreams fulfilled. I believe God put dreams in our hearts, and it requires obedience sometime. And for me, it was my dream to work with girls that are in prostitution, and also my family. Is the dream fulfilled? Because I said yes to Alan, I said yes to moving across the country, leaving everything behind. I now have my two kids. Some of you know that Alan and I had trouble getting pregnant. We had infertility for 2.5 years, surgeries, all the things. Didn't think we would get pregnant, and then Olivia came, so she's our miracle baby. And it was a very complicated pregnancy, complicated birth. She was born unresponsive. So then a year later, we were like, well, we don't know if we're going to be able to get pregnant again, so why not try? And who knows? Well, we got pregnant on the first try, so we have, they're very little in between. They're very few months. So we have our two miracles, and it's because we said yes to the Lord when he asked us to. And another very important one is knowing that we are doing what God wants us to do. And I don't think there's anything better than knowing that you are exactly where God wants you to be. And the verse that I like is, however as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. If you would have told me when I was 15 at Campa that I would be living what I'm living now, I would have died. First of all, because I hated public speaking. I couldn't imagine doing this for a living. We're missionaries. And and second, being a missionary, I never wanted to be a missionary. So the Lord works in mysterious ways, and his ways are better than anything I could have ever conceived. Okay, you can go to the last one. So I have a question for you guys, and I would like for you to take out your phone or a piece of paper or anything. You can go ahead and do that. You got it? Okay. I want you to spend a couple minutes thinking what yes you can tell the Lord this week. What little yes can you say? It doesn't have to be a big yes. It doesn't mean, yes, I'll move to Spain. I mean, if that's what he's asking you, then go for it. But what little yes? Is it going to visit that neighbor that you think hates you? Is it buying coffee for somebody? What little yes can you tell the Lord this week? I'm going to give you a minute to think. I know some of you are thinking, there's no way I'm doing what's in my mind. Well, you're missing out if you don't, because the Lord is faithful. And I would like to encourage you to do that little yes. And then let me know if you want to. We have a little table in the back right behind the table of communion with information. There's prayer cards and little a flyer and paper that you guys can take. Feel free to take whatever you want. Our email is there. I would love it if this week you say yes to the Lord and it's something that you can share with us. I would love to read it. Feel free to take whatever is on that table, except just take the papers. I've had one church last time take the stuff that was on the table, like the fans and all that. Don't take that, because we still have a long ways to go. We've been here visiting churches since June 1st, and we still have till August 29th. So we're doing a tour of the states, visiting churches and people that support us. But thank you. I'd like to pray for you guys as we finish, and then I'll turn it over to, sure, I don't pray for very long, but yes, if you want. Okay. I remember you from last time. You had the little girl who was my daughter's age. Yeah, you. Hi. And now you have a little son too. It's fun to come back and see people that and how the years go by too. God, I want to thank you for the time that you've given us today. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness in my life and how you've given me the courage to say little yeses and where you've placed Alan and I. Thank you for Restoration Fellowship. Thank you for each individual that's here, the ones that are not here too. God, you know what is on each and everyone's heart. You know what you are asking of each and every one of us. You have not forgotten us. You know what our dreams are. You know what our desires are. And we want to say yes to you, Jesus. I ask that you would give us peace and give us strength in the yes. It might seem like it's a huge mountain or it's an impossible thing to do to say yes to you, but we know that saying yes to you is better than saying no, for sure. But saying yes to you is better than saying yes to anybody else. Like we sang before, you never let us down. You're always faithful. And I ask that you would prove that in each of our lives, God, that you would bring to our hearts this week as we say yes to you how you've paved the way, and that you would help us remember what yeses we have said and where they have taken us, Lord. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for everything that you've done and that you will continue to do.